to tonight.
Awesome. So I'll kind of MC tonight, but I did want to share a scripture that God pointed out to me. Actually, I think it was the second day there, and it just really hit me, probably because I've been away from my home the most this year than I ever have. And I'm like a homebody. Like I like being home. I like being in my house. I like being around my family. And, you know, most of you know, I did go to Ireland. And then I told Paige Miller that if she wanted to go to LA, that I would go with her. Honestly, not really thinking that she was going to go. And then her mom said it was okay for her to go if you go with her. And I was like, I'm going to LA. All right, we're going to LA. We're going to do this. And just the scripture, and I felt to share it tonight. It's out of Hebrews 10. And this is Jesus speaking. He says, "And then I said, look, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written about me in the scriptures." And that I have come to do your will, O God. If we're as Christians supposed to be modeling our lives after Jesus, and Jesus himself said to God, "I have come to do your will," then that should be our prayer. And my life, as you know, as many times as I mess up, I want to do God's will for my life, and I want my heart to follow after what he wants. And so if that meant going to Ireland, then I'm going to Ireland. If that means going to LA, then I'm going to LA. And that week, you know, there's so much that happens at the Dream Center, and, you know, your emotions, and as I'm sure you're going to hear from a lot of these people, they're literally like this all week long. Because you see things on the streets, and you're like, oh my gosh, I want to help those people. And then 44,000 homeless people in LA, and the streets are just like lined up with tents and stuff. You're like, how in the world am I going to help these people? So you go from like despair to anger sometimes, like, because you hear stories of on the streets, and you're like, that really makes me mad. And then you feel sad, and then you want to help, and then you're like, gosh, what am I doing? But they go off a principle: as you find a need and you fill it. And so if anything, we can take that here. We find a need in our city and we fill it, even if that means one person at a time, because that's how we're going to change people. Our lives are going to help change other lives because of what he's doing through us. Amen? One person at a time. So we're going to share one person at a time. I think I want Gabby to start, actually, if that's all right. This girl, no, she is the girl to bring with you on the streets. Come here, come here, because this is what she does, right? The person that brought us to Skid Row the first time, she's like, I want you to pray with at least three people. And for some people, that's really hard to do. She'll go up, can I pray with you about anything? Well, what do you want me to pray with you about? What's your name? All right, my name's Gabby. Let's pray. Like, and she's literally like, you cannot walk away from this girl without her praying for you. So will you give Gabby a hand as she shares?
All right, so I am so excited, and I'm so glad that I got to go on this missions trip. It was actually my first missions trip, so it was really great. And one of my favorite parts about LA was going to the DC Academy, and we met this one woman. She was the principal of the school, and she was also the first through fifth grade teacher. And we started talking to her, and this one girl comes up to her, and she's like, hey, Mom, where's the computer unlocking password or whatever? And then she goes back into the computer room. So we just decided to follow her into the computer room. And Julie is telling us about her school and how all of these kids come to school early because their parents go to work early. And they just play on the computers until school starts. And so we saw the one girl who said, hey, Mom. And the question just asked, like, is that one girl your daughter? And she's like, yeah, it's one of them. We were like, how many of these kids are yours? And she kind of scans through the 10 kids, and she says, well, I think all of them except for two. And we were like, whoa. And we thought our house was crazy with five kids. And we were like, wow, that's pretty cool. And she brings us into our office, and she shows us this picture. And all of them are her 13 kids, and they range from, like, ages 3 to mid-30s. And she starts telling us about some of her adoptive children. She's got 13 right now, and she's had over 200 in her household before. And, yeah. And she starts telling us the stories about these kids. One of them, She was 16 when she adopted her, and she was pregnant because she had been raped. And the daughter couldn't take care of the child, so Julie ended up adopting her granddaughter, making her granddaughter her mother's sister. And then she starts telling us about one of her little boys who is 12, and his father was murdered while he was on his lap when he was 3, and he hasn't talked since. He's still in diapers, and he's literally mentally gone. Then she tells us about these two other little boys that she has. One of them is 4, and the other one's 2. And they were found locked into their apartment room when they were 2 and a couple months old. And the mother was schizophrenic, and the father wanted to leave the state. And the state said that they couldn't leave the kids alone with the mother, so the father took the mother with them and left the kids in there. They were in there for about an estimate of 2 weeks, living on what they could for themselves. And the oldest son was found with over 200 stab wounds. And as we're listening to the stories of these 13 kids that she has presently, 3 of them were hers, we were heartbroken. We were like holding back tears because it's just so crazy how somebody can do this to these little children. And we were just heartbroken, and my mom asked her, "Where are your wings? Because you're practically an angel." And we're like, "How could you do this? I could never do this." And she said, "I'm sure you could, because if you were able to adopt these kids and give them hope and give them a future and give them a purpose, then you would find a way to make it happen too." So that just really changed my life. That was my favorite part of the trip, because it's crazy how when you're put in a situation like that, you can find a way to make something good out of it. And that just really changed my life. So, yeah.
Jen, you want to come on up? Yeah. She was the mother hen on the trip, making sure everyone is all right.
I told the girls that too. I was like, "Guys, I'm going to be mommy on this trip." And they just looked at me like, I think they thought they were getting away from their mom, but they weren't. So just so you guys know, I was mommy. Okay, Melissa. Yeah. So thank you all to who, you know, helped send us. It was such a great opportunity for us to be able to do this, especially together. I'm going to hold it together. Jeez. I told myself I wouldn't cry. In fact, I didn't even talk to the team. We had such an awesome team. We really did. We all got along. We had a lot of fun, and it was a great time. We all loved ministering together, so it was a great team and a great time. But I couldn't talk to them sometimes because I was so, like Aaron was saying, just overcome with emotions. Like we got in the van from Skid Row one of the first mornings, and I'm silent. I think we're all silent because our jaws were like hitting the floor. Like she said, I probably had 5,000 emotions going on, like anxiety and fear for these people, but yet a strange hope. And just, I feel like we all had just a compassion and a love, and like there was just so many different emotions. And I know before we went out, actually that morning, the Lord gave me this scripture, and I want to read it. It's Matthew 25:31. And he's telling, this is Jesus speaking, and he's saying to them that he's going to separate the sheep from the goats, that the goats are going to be on his right, or the goats are going to be on his left, and the sheep are going to be on his right. And he says, for the sheep, this is what he's going to say. He says, "For you, I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." And then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or need clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will reply, truly I tell you, for whatever you did to one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Okay, I'm going to try to keep it together. So we walk down Skid Row, and it's just, I can't really describe it to you other than just saying, like, it's like entering into a whole nother world, like a third world country, because you've got tents and tarps and cardboard boxes and blankets, and these people, all they have is their shopping carts or their, you know, bags, and it's just, it's crazy. And this is where they live. I mean, as Aaron was saying, 44,000 homeless, and the majority of them are right there in the midst of Skid Row. I mean, block after block after block, you just, it's like you're driving along the streets of LA, and then all of a sudden it's like, wham, here it comes. There's just a flood of homeless people. And, you know, I remember being on the airplane ride back, and the guy that we were sitting next to, we were telling him about the Dream Center and everything, and he's like, yeah, you know, You can't really, you know, give money to homeless people. I've learned, you know, they're just going to go buy booze with it. And then, you know, we're sitting at the taco truck, which we did way too much. So we were sitting at the taco truck one night, and I was talking to this guy that came, and he said pretty much the same thing. He's like, I've lived in LA long enough to know, I know where you can't help the homeless people. Like, a lot of them are there just because, you know, of their own, you know, demise. And I started getting mad because I couldn't speak when I got in the car because I just was so flooded with the compassion of Jesus. You know, he says, the least of these, whatever you've done for the least of these. And I was looking at these people, and I didn't look at them like the world saw them. I didn't look at them as like, yeah, I know you're just going to go, you know, trade that in for drugs. And we saw that. I mean, we saw everything. We saw drug addicts, people doing drugs right in front of us. We saw drug deals going down. But I didn't look at them in like anger or hate, but I looked at them and I saw the Father's love like I've never seen it before, because regardless of what they're doing, regardless of what they've done, regardless of how they've gotten there, there's a love for them that is so intense, that is so unreal. The Bible says that there's nothing that we are ever going to do that is going to separate God's love from us. And God loves those people just as much as he loves you and I. And I was overcome and overjoyed with that. And I just couldn't even speak because I wanted to do everything that I my being to help these people, to show them the love of God. And when I realized that going and bringing them a hot dog, or going and praying for them, or even just talking to them like they were a normal person, you know, I mean, holding their hands, like, I mean, they're not clean. The one girl said, she's like, it hasn't rained in LA since March, so if you see a puddle, it's not water. It's the truth. It stunk. It stunk bad. So we're holding and hugging. There's this one guy, and you know, he came up and he wanted a box of cookies, which, fine, hey, I'll give you a box of cookies, but I'm giving you something else too. So I'm talking to him, and you know, his name was Dion, and I'm talking to Dion, and then I just talking, and I was like, Dion, is there anything that I can pray for you for? And he's like, he just lost it. He just started weeping. And he's like, please pray for my wife. I just want her back. And when I realized that these people were hurting, just like you or I, just like so many others, he was just hurting. So I called Chris over. I'm like, come on, we're going to pray for this guy. And we prayed for him. And I just feel like he just had that hope. You know, I said, you know, Dion, it was no coincidence that I met you here today, and God wants to do something great in your life. And, you know, just that opportunity to just minister to him was just so impactful. And, you know, like Aaron said earlier, that the Dream Center's slogan is find a need and fill it. There's needs everywhere. We can, and it's all about giving. Just like what I said in this scripture, he said, you saw me hungry and you gave. You saw me thirsty and you gave. You saw me sick and you gave of yourself. We need to just give. There's needs all around us. And I just was praying and I was thinking today, God, help me see those in need around me. And I want to encourage you. There are so many needs around you. Sometimes our eyes just need to be open to it. So in your prayer time, I just want to encourage you to ask God to help you see those needs because they're there. Okay, there we go.
Ready, CJ? I walk out of lunch one afternoon and CJ's there by the door, like covered in dust. And I was like, wow. He's like, yeah, they really have us doing construction. So he was a worker. He was a servant. He did what was asked. And he can do some pretty cool impressions if you want to ask him after church. Really funny. Here you go.
Yeah, I'd like to start off by saying that L.A. is a pretty crazy place with some interesting people in it. I was most impacted by Skid Row because there's just people on the sidewalk in tents, and they don't have anything. And when I say they don't have anything, like, the most they have is, like, a pair of shoes, some clothes, and a lot of people had Bluetooth speakers. But it made me really think about what I have at home, and I'm so appreciative of what I have here at home. Like, I buy sneakers, and they're expensive, and I don't think much of it, but these people are fighting just to have something on their feet. But I was walking around with a football games or something. Like, they have those little things that they wear around their neck, and it's filled with food. I had hot dogs and cookies. And the smiles on their faces just for a hot dog and some cookies was just amazing. Like, I never thought that it would mean so much to somebody just to give them a hot dog and some cookies. But they had the biggest smiles on their faces. They were so thankful for it. But I just couldn't believe it. Like, it changed the way I think about everything here and there. I didn't know that people were living this way until, like, my dad told me. I thought he was just hyping me up, like, this is going to be crazy, this is going to be crazy. It was crazy, but it did impact me quite a bit. My favorite part of the trip was definitely construction. Like she said, we did construction, and I worked with a guy named Abraham, and he was 6'7" tall, very tall, and we were getting to work, and then these other two guys came in, and his name was Noah, and I don't remember the other guy's name, but I look at my dad, and he's like, Abraham, Noah, and then he just looks around, and he's like, well, where's Moses? And I was like, ha, 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 dad jokes. But I also worked with this chisel gun thingy, and that was pretty cool, too. But, yeah, that's all I really have to say about L.A.
Anne-Marie, come on up. Anne-Marie was so nervous going on this trip, and then she had to leave a day early, and she sent a text saying just how thankful she was that she found family with us all and that she really did feel loved and accepted. So she was just, it was an awesome experience. Just when you go on trips, you get to know people a little bit more than you did before, obviously, because you're traveling with them. My mom always says you don't know someone until you travel with them. Well, it's true because, you know, you're with someone for so many days and you're going to find stuff out about them. But she was great to travel with, and being so nervous, she really did step out of her comfort zone and do what God had asked her to do. So,
hi, yes, Pastor said you got to step out of your comfort zone, and that's what I did. It was great. The whole trip was great. Everybody was great. Me and Jeremy, while you guys were giving out hot dogs, we were praying for someone. I'm nervous. I'm sorry. He was scared of death. He was a homeless man. We gave him water because we were up there giving water away. And he was scared of death. And I just kept telling him, you know, Jesus is there. Jesus is going to be there for you. Don't worry about death. And me and Jeremy both prayed for him. I never did tell you that part, but it was pretty cool. I mean, they got me to pray for the first time out loud. So I was a little nervous about that, but they all did it. And I really enjoyed it, and I would encourage anybody to go. Before I even left, I wanted to come back. It was great, and just being with everybody at the end of the night, talking about everything that we just went through was great, too. Just the family atmosphere of the church, of all the people, was great. Going to the homes where we gave people, food and stuff like that, and seeing 7 people living in one house and they're off the streets, but there's still one bedroom, a kitchen dining room area, and there's seven people living in there. But they're staying good, and LA Dream Center is helping them, and it was great to see that they were helping them. And then me and the kids going through the clothing center and searching through all those clothes and watching Paige jump when she hits up to a jack strap a couple times. Not once, but twice. So, yeah, there are some definitely crazy things, but it was great. I love it, and I can't wait to do it again.
McKenna, come on up. Mickey Mac. She got a little nickname when she was there. You could really see God's hand all over her life. You can see it now, but she was actually one of the ones that went up to share when the Dream Center had asked, not like at the main sanctuary, but our own little group. She had went up and she shared, and she just has some great words of wisdom. So just share a little bit tonight of what God did with you.
Because I heard you haven't shared with your mom yet.
I did a little. Well, my very first, like, noticeable experience for me was when we were feeding the homeless. We were feeding them the hot dogs, and I only had a pack of cookies left. So I went up to this man, and I was like, would you like some cookies? And he was like, sure. And we started talking, you know, having a conversation, and he told me his name was Derek. After we started talking, he prayed for me, and I prayed for him. And then he starts talking about how his name was Derek, and I called him the Hurricane. And being my 15-year-old self, not being around in 1981, I believe, I didn't know who Derek the Hurricane was. So apparently he is a famous boxer or wrestler, one of those two, boxer. And I was so excited. I went up to Chris, and I was like, dude, I just met this famous boxer. And he was like, that's not Derek the Hurricane. I was like, what? Like, I had never felt so vulnerable before, you know, like, so taken for granted for a box of cookies. So it was kind of different for me, but I'm the kind of person that likes to make a lesson out of everything bad. So I started thinking about it, and I always tell people all the time, you know, I'm wise beyond my years because I'm not like the normal 15-year-old. And then I realized that God blessed me with a spiritual wisdom. But because I am so young, I don't have the secular or worldly wisdom. Therefore, I am vulnerable and easily taken for granted. And I started thinking about, you know, how I could change that and make a difference. And so I decided to make myself more vulnerable. I walked up to more people. I prayed for more people. I became more wise in the world so that the world could no longer use itself against me. I started going up to people, praying for them. I went up to people, you know, I gave them food, hugs, you know, I gave them the love that God gave to me. And I went up to this one guy, and he told me that he was homeless because he had started with marijuana into painkillers, and then cocaine and meth, and how, you know, he had been clean for, I don't remember, like a month, I believe, he had been clean. And I looked at him in the eyes, and I said, if you had known that smoking that one breath of marijuana would have led you to this place, would it be worth it? And he looked me in the eyes, and he said, 100% no. He told me that if he could start over, he would. And then I started thinking, I was blessed at a young age to have spiritual wisdom, but some people weren't. We watched this one woman with her baby. Her baby's growing up, and right next to them, they're dealing drugs. Right next to the baby, the two-year-old boy. And that made me think, you know, these kids are growing up with this, therefore they don't have the spiritual wisdom. So it was crazy to me to think that we can make a difference by just going around spreading the word of God to the younger kids so that they can grow up with the spiritual wisdom, even if it's just once in their lifetime, even if it's like once a week. You know, they it still gets planted in their hearts. You know, plant the seed, watch it grow. So I just was praying over people. I prayed that they would spread the word of God themselves because so many people were saying how they were already members of the Dream Center. So I was like, well, what are you doing? Like,
tell people, you know, spread the word. And all down the street, so many people were saying, oh, I'm already a member, I'm already a member. And I was like, this is awesome. Like, the city church is already doing, like, what they need to do. And it was just so crazy to me that some people grew up without the spiritual wisdom, and some people did. And some people grew up with just the worldly wisdom, and some people didn't. And it was just crazy to me to make that comparison of, well, I want both. I want to work for both. I want to get vulnerable. I want to push myself to the extra step to become more wise so that the world cannot trick me through its ways anymore.
That little boy's name was Chase. So if you would like to pray for him, that was probably a moment for me, but I'll share that another time. But his name was Chase. So pray for a little boy named Chase. Paige, ready? Come on up. Paige didn't even know, I don't think, what the Dream Center was. I remember talking to her. She was actually in dance, and Pastor had come in and, you know, just saying hi. And then all of a sudden, it turned into her crying, a very God moment, which, bring your kids to dance. Anyway, no. It turned into a God moment where she ended up coming on this trip. And I'm so thankful that you said yes to God, not sure. Let your yes be yes, yes. And that all this was able to happen. So just share, this girl can talk. So just share, just share two, 3 minutes about what God did for you.
Okay, so I was really surprised that I was allowed to go on this trip just because my mom likes to keep a kind of like tight leash on me, and this is the furthest I've ever been away from home. But it was amazing. We got there, and it was a completely different vibe in the entire place. On the way over there, there was a bunch of people that you wouldn't see around here. There were people, I think that's what surprised me the most. Were the people, because they were doing stuff that we would never do over here. There was people that were under bridges, living under bridges, and it took me a while to realize how many, when you hear 44,000 people, I can't visualize that number of people being on the streets permanently. Like, that's their permanent place of residence, and it was insane driving by and working with them, and the amount of people that were so grateful that we were there in the first place. And they knew, like, I love that the Dream Center is, it's not, I'm stuttering so bad. Okay. It's, okay. Yes, Dream Center. Okay, thank you. The Dream Center, they go there every week, so people knew who we were, and they weren't afraid to come up to us. Or they didn't just kind of, there were people that walked away, but they knew what we were trying to do, and that's why they walked away. But there were so many people that wanted prayer, and they knew exactly what they wanted to be given. And it wasn't the hot dogs, and it wasn't the cookies. That was just to start a conversation. And I think that was really thoughtful on their part of giving them something that will make them want to be close to you, and then giving them something that they need. Because they don't need the hot dogs. They don't need the cookies. They need God. Because they're not going to get anywhere else without it. And I just think that just really opened my eyes as to, like CJ said, like, I have so much here that I took for granted. And going there and seeing them have nothing and fighting, like, it was insane. It was a roller coaster. I felt helpless. And I felt like I couldn't give enough to make a difference, but I feel, and they kept telling us that, like, every single person that you're giving anything to, anybody that you're praying for, and I did pray for people out loud, and that was a big deal for me, and, but yeah, I'm glad I did that. It was a good thing, but there were so many people that I realized after I got back that I got to meet, and I got to talk to, and I got to pray for, and I really think that, as small of a way that I was there, that I did help change their lives, because, like they said at the Dream Center, it's like everybody is a bucket, and then there, at some point, it's got to overflow. So some people's buckets are small and some people's are big. And what they said is that every time you bring God or you speak of God or you pray for someone, it's a drop in a bucket. And eventually it'll be enough and they'll be there and they'll believe and they'll know that God is there. And I think that my little part in anything that went on in their life really helped. And I'm really glad that I got to go, and it was amazing, and I recommend it. And it was amazing. It was just amazing.
All right, we got one more. Ready, Chris? Chris, ready? The buzz.
I wasn't ready. I got a message, and I wasn't in it. I wasn't ready. I shared last year, and I didn't have any notes, and I said, what the heck, a million times, and I still haven't lived it down, and so you just caught me totally off guard. I just sat down just to support you guys. Yeah, it said you and the kids. What the heck? So just for 1 minute, I'll tell you, because I was impacted by the trip. Last year, I was impacted greatly by the outreach ministry, about what everybody shared about going outside into the city of Los Angeles and serving the people there. There's 44,000 homeless people. They're everywhere in Skid Row. But this year, I would think I was affected a little bit differently, because maybe it was my second time. I was affected by what they actually did on site and who ran the place. And the Dream Center is ran by a program called the Discipleship Program. Now, they have many ministries there, and those ministries kind of do their own thing. But the people who cook, the people who clean, do the laundry, take care of the building, the maintenance on that whole big facility are people from the Discipleship Program. And the Discipleship Program is a recovery program. Everybody in that program is a drug addict. They're an alcoholic. They're felons. They're criminals. They're all men and women who have surrendered their life to Christ, and they have been empowered and given a purpose, a reason to live. Every morning when their feet hit the floor, those men and women have something to do. And these are men and women that society casts off to the side and labels them and says they're no good. And they have a hard time getting jobs. They can't vote. They can't do all this stuff. They've been labeled as no good. And the Dream Center has removed that and given them a purpose in the name of Jesus. So that's what had a huge impact on me, a little fire inside of me. We have a problem here in Genesee County in Western New York. And these people are an example of something we can do about it. So that was it. And I didn't say what the heck once.
You just said it. All right, so if you want to ask any more questions to anybody on the team, all right, we're going to have all the LA team come on up to the front. If you want prayer for anything, these guys are ready for it to pray for you. If you have any questions about the trip or just want to know a little bit more, they'll be more than happy to answer any of those questions. Let's just stand together and we'll pray tonight. God, I do thank you for who you are, God. I thank you for loving us the way that you do. And I thank you, God, for loving that you're no respecter of persons, God. And I just thank you for that. Help us, God, to see people through your eyes, God. Break our hearts, God, for what breaks yours, God. And help us to love others the way that you love us. In Jesus' name, we thank you for that. God, I pray for every person here tonight, God, that you would just use them in a great way, no matter where they go, tonight, tomorrow, God, that your hand be on them. And we just thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.